Jesus demonstrated his miraculous power against natural and spiritual death. Paul prophesied, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Jesus proclaimed, St. John 5:28-30, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." In the final judgment, there will be a literal resurrection. John revealed, Revelation 20:12-15, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The word of God is the book of life. God has a record of all humanity whom he created in all eras. In the final judgment before the earth becomes the literal hell, Jesus will raise all people, good and evil, from the dead in all times. At the judgment seat of Christ, sinners will give account of the sins that are in their hearts. Unbelieving atheists do not believe in God, nor do they believe that there is a hell. Currently, they should observe volcanoes when it spews fire and lava, which overwhelm everyone in its path. Then they should know where they will be in hell, which is the everlasting fire of God, burning up the wicked without mercy. The scriptures speak of the whole earth becoming a literal lake of fire and brimstone. Malachi 3:16-17, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Isaiah prophesied in his era about God's highest standard of righteousness. He declared that only his holy people would get eternal life. He would only dwell with his redeemed people who have evolved into the highest standard of righteousness. Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." I assure you that Jesus will eradicate all sins of believers in all eras, through spiritual crucifixion, when we believe his words. According to the pattern in his word, Jesus is our example. He illustrated the pattern of life that we as Christians should follow. The way of the cross is the absolute route whereby the Lord mortifies our evil desires. Spiritual crucifixion is obviously essential, because the Lord Jesus has appointed us to take our cross and follow him. Jesus completely eradicates the enmity, which lies within unregenerate humanity when we believe in him. Wherefore, we as Christians should rejoice, because we are partakers of the example, which Jesus Christ demonstrated for us. When we courageously endure our cross, afflictions, for his sake, subsequently the spiritual resurrection of the life of Christ is inevitable. Jesus manifests and employs his life within us who are born of the Spirit of God. Jesus said to John, Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth, and was dead, and, behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Jesus will give the power of life that he demonstrated against the power of death to the born-again and obedient children of God. The Hebrew writer wrote, Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. He defeated the powers of death, which comes from the devil, and has the power of life, which is the key from the living God. The key is a metaphor of the powers in which he controls all forces of life and death. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In this verse, Paul spoke of a personal experience of a spiritual resurrection by Jesus. The operation of the Holy Spirit made his life conformable to the life of Jesus Christ. That spiritual resurrection came by the cross. Only through the cross, we know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. By the cross, we also are in fellowship with the suffering life of Jesus Christ. We should observe this metaphor of the cross. Jesus' cross was literal. However, our cross is spiritual. It is the profound persecution and suffering in which we endure when we live a sanctified life for Jesus Christ. The cross of the Christian life also symbolizes the hate and personal pain of rejection we endure. Jesus proclaimed, St. John 15:18-19, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hath you." Lazarus' sickness displayed his great faith in the Lord, because he had not sinned. However, he was sick. He was a chosen example of all Christians who put their total trust in the Lord, whether it is sickness or persecution and all the troubles, which righteous people endure in this world. Galatians 4:29, "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now." Let us observe the scriptures about Lazarus, whom the Lord literally and spiritually raised from the dead. Jesus demonstrated his power against the devil and death. St. John 11:1, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Verses 3-4, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." According to the scriptures, some sicknesses are the consequence of disobedience to God's will, and sin, but not Lazarus' sickness. His sickness manifested Jesus' glory and miraculous power against death, to give the power of life to the believer by a miracle, because he loved him. In many instances, God will test our faith through sickness or some other trouble. We glorify Jesus in our sufferings when we have faith in him. When Mary and Martha observed Lazarus' sickness, they thought all hope for Lazarus' recovery was lost because of his severe suffering. When Jesus received their message about his sickness and death, Jesus quickly replied, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Jesus knew that despite Lazarus' agony, he trusted in God. Through his suffering, he glorified the Son of God. Only through suffering will the Lord destroy the desires of the lust of the flesh. The Spirit of Christ within our hearts will claim power against death. Spiritual death is the result of fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Therefore, it is essential for us to be in fellowship with the cross of Christ. We Christians must have a form of death by spiritual crucifixion of our flesh. Jesus said, verse 10, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Saints, our flesh is a metaphor of darkness, which is night. Jesus desires to deliver us from the bondage of the flesh through spiritual crucifixion, and thereby we shall live in the light, which is the Spirit of Christ. We will never stumble in sin if we follow Jesus. Jesus said these words to his disciples, verse 11. "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep." Yes, today, many of God's people are asleep spiritually. They have lost contact with the Spirit of God, and the Lord is visiting them through his messengers, striving to awaken them out of their spiritual death. However, as Jesus said, "I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Those whom Jesus can reach in faith will he resurrect from their grave of fleshly desires. Those who do not believe God's messenger will be lost in their graves of sins. Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We who are true dedicated saints should take heed to our scripture lessons each day and observe the words, which the Lord is speaking to us. Beware of our dreams and visions, which the Lord shows us and, by all means, obey the Lord in fasting and prayers. By doing these things, we are watching and likewise, we are spiritually alert and spiritually sober. We will not sleep spiritually like the disobedient. Verse 7, For they that sleep sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. It is clear to us that Paul was warning the Roman Christians in this powerful metaphor. Those who are asleep are out of the will of God. Many were drunkards literally. They were also spiritually drunk with the cares of this world. Jesus disclosed, St. Luke 21:34, And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Many unbelievers are in this situation today. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Those of us who are of the day, which means children of light, must continuously focus our faith in God's word, thereby, we will understand his love for us. Although God placed extreme sufferings upon us, we have the hope of salvation according to his word. It does not matter what our problem is, Jesus has promised to deliver us through faith in him. Verse 9, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not God's will to destroy us, but to save us completely in this world and the world to come. Paul continues, 1 Corinthians 15:51, Behold, I shew you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Jesus will demonstrate to us the secret and power of life in which he will change our entire lives in this present world. We, whom God has spiritually awakened, will he show a mystery in verse 53, For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is what Paul is emphasizing, the evil desires of flesh are corruptible, and God must destroy all of those evil desires and lusts of the flesh. Although we are mortal, we must put on the incorruptible spiritual life of Jesus Christ. When Jesus saves us from our sins, his Spirit and Word crucifies the works of wickedness. We then demonstrate the sinless life of Jesus Christ, and our spiritual bodies puts on immortality. Paul was clear, verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. Romans 6:23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Spiritually, we become immortal because eternal life begins when God eradicates sin with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus declared to his 11 disciples, Acts 1:8, But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We must have the genuine power of God to defeat the works of sin, which is a corrupted grave. 1 Corinthians 15:44, There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. The only way the devil can work is through the evil desires of an unregenerate mind. When the Spirit of Jesus Christ destroys the evil desire to sin, he defeats spiritual death by his power against death. Jesus is the victor. He has abolished the works of the devil in our lives. Ephesians 2:1, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul was emphatic, 2 Corinthians 1:9-10, But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. We know that the Lord Jesus has delivered us from death and the grave of sin, and he will continue to deliver us into his eternal kingdom to be with him forever. Let me reiterate and observe the eternal power of Jesus against the grave and death by his spoken word. St. John 11:38-39, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Yes, this moment the Lord will resurrect you spiritually from your spiritual grave of sin. First, we must do something. We must repent and remove our stone of unbelief. Therefore, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Unbelief binds the Spirit of God. He works through the channel of faith. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Jesus spoke these words to Martha, Lazarus' sister. These words are also for us today. Faith in the spoken words of Jesus will bring forth deliverance. It does not matter what the situation is. Verse 41, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." We remove the stone of unbelief when we meet the condition of faith, and as a result, the Lord answers our prayers. He heard us when we first prayed. However, the stone is a powerful metaphor of unbelief, which hinders our prayers. Therefore, the delay in answering of our prayers is because of unbelief. Verses 43-44, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go." We notice that after Jesus called Lazarus by name, the Spirit of God contacted the death angel of the devil, and defeated him in battle by taking away the victim of death, grave, and hell by giving life to the believer. The devil was striving in his final effort to hold his victim by binding him with grave clothes, which is the works of sin. Jesus again spoke to the powers of the devil saying, "Loose him, and let him go." Jesus stripped the devil of his power by his spoken words. Even as Jesus literally and spiritually resurrected Lazarus from death, we too, as individuals, identify our faith in Jesus Christ through an experience of spiritual crucifixion and spiritual resurrection. Lazarus was an example of the children of God who overcome sin and death in this world. Paul articulated, 1 Corinthians 15:26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." St. John 12:9, "They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Lazarus glorified Jesus' power in which he gave him life. Jesus revealed to John, Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." Paul wrote, Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Galatians 5:19-21, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now we understand that we can only experience the spiritual resurrection from evil works of sin when the Lord saves us from our sins. When we are spiritually dead to sin, we cannot sin. We cannot sin when the conscience of sin is dead. Because of this, we are able to endure temptations without sin. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." The Lord will destroy those who do not overcome sin with the devil and all those who follow and accept his deceptive devices and lies. Jesus said, St. Matthew 25:41, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Conclusion, Jesus spoke these words to those who repent and obey him. Verse 34, Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus prophesied that the end of the world will come. St. John 5:28-30, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.